Hey, everybody, this is Stelly.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to start a business that's a tech business without a technical co-founder.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
Yeah, no, how to start a startup without a technical co-founder, but really what it means is how to build a software product without a technical co-founder, right?
Sounds good.
There's lots of people that are asking us this question.
Oh, yeah. I get this question a lot as well, just because people are really curious about it, because, you know, there are a ton of people out there that don't know how to program and want to start a business and create software.
Yeah, and there was a time, I remember this very vividly, where kind of, I think the prevailing wisdom for a little while was wisdom. Like the fashion insight was like, oh, everybody should learn to code. And if you're not technical and you want to build a software product, why don't you invest a year on Code Academy or something and learn how to develop and then develop the product yourself or develop an MVP yourself? I think that was kind of really hot for a hot minute. And then, you know, I don't hear that as advice as much anymore. And I wanted to talk about this, A, because I know that there's lots of people of our listeners that are not technical and are building software products or want to build a software product or start a startup, but also because you have fucking built 5 products last year with a new co-founder of yours that is also non-technical.
That's right.
So who better to talk about how to do this than you?
Yeah, and I started my first set of software products, even the ones that weren't successful, back in 2000. I guess we started coding the first one in 2004 and launched Crazy Egg, the one that worked, in 2005. And all that was with no technical co-founder either. And so I've never had a real technical co-founder in the traditional sense that people do. Both of my co-founders for different things are non-technical. Things have changed quite a bit, I would say. One thing I would say that's changed more than anything else is going to be maybe a little funny, but it really helps solve problems, is that it's very likely that if you're out there and you're thinking of starting some kind of software business, you know someone who can program. When I started, now 12 years ago or 13 years ago, with programming, 14 on the internet doing stuff, we were running a consulting business doing marketing, that wasn't the case. I literally don't remember or think I knew anyone that was a programmer when I started, like personally, as a friend or somebody I knew. Now it's like you go to college, you got like lots of friends that would be programmers because they're getting like double majors in this, or, you know, they just started picking it up for whatever reason, or at least they can design and do front end code and stuff like that. So I think that's changed a lot. So the advice of like learn to code yourself has definitely died down quite a bit. I used to threaten our engineers that I would learn to code, and they would laugh at me. So yeah, I think, you know, the biggest tip I have is like, you probably have a friend that can learn to code, that knows code. I'm not saying that you should go ask them to build something for you. What I'm saying is like, then at least as you go out looking for help building something, you can ask them to help you vet people. You can ask them for advice on like what you should be looking for, what the latest technology is that you should be using, not even the latest, just what technology you should be using for what you're trying to do. You can get a lot of advice for free from people who are probably your friends or even friends of friends that knew how to code. I don't even think I had friends of friends that I could go to and be like, yo, you know, are you a programmer? Like, do you know how to build stuff? Like, people just, it just wasn't as much of a thing as it is today.
I agree. At the same time, honestly, Heaton, I think that most people around the world still are in that place. Like, I do think that if you leave the US and especially the coasts and especially Silicon Valley, right, where we live, I do think that there's still lots of places where people are growing up and eventually they say, hey, I want to do a fucking startup. I want to do a software product. But they really don't know anybody who is in software, and so they don't have any friends. So what do they do?
Yeah, that's fair. I guess I extend friends to like online friends too.
That's
so
fair.
Back then, yeah, like it was much harder to like go find like someone even online. I'll tell you what I did. You know, I still did it, but I was literally I guess this just goes to like the point of like what advice I'd give anybody. One big piece of advice is make friends. The way I did it back in the day was I literally talked to everybody that was part of that put their name as a programmer on the Ruby on Rails sort of website. Ruby on Rails is now a very popular programming language. Back then, it wasn't even in version 1.0. And I knew that it was a hot thing because I'd been following 37 Signals. Now they're called Basecamp back then. And they were writing a lot of stuff about like product development and design. And like they were an agency had just like kind of launched these products, Basecamp specifically, and a bunch of other ones. And they built this like framework on how to build based on Ruby called Ruby on Rails on how to, you know, that made it easier to build products like theirs. And so I hit up literally everyone on that list via email or even phone call, and because their phone numbers were listed, and they responded to me, and I talked to them and I asked them if they would help me build what I wanted to build. At that point, I actually already had, I wouldn't say a bad experience, but a mediocre experience with a set of developers, a whole set of developers actually across many different products, and really had one specific problem I was looking to solve, which is expertise in Ruby on Rails. And very few people had it at the time because it was such a new language. And so I hit everybody up, the whole list, and then I got lucky finding somebody who I still work with today. And I made friends. So some of the folks, like there's a senior person at Airbnb that I talked to back in the day who's had his own startups and stuff. There's a few people outside of the country that were core contributors to Rails that I still know that I hit up back then, and a number of other people that probably remember me. So I'd say make friends, and now it's easier than ever. It's not just Ruby on Rails. There's so many other technologies. There's so many other ways you can reach people who know how to program. You could probably send out a message on Facebook and get some help if you want to. You could probably do the same with Twitter or wherever you have some level of your friends hanging out online. Or you can even just join a certain Slack community or a group and start asking around. So I think back then it was much harder to ask around and find trusted advice on engineering and programming. And so I had to go like basically hunt people down that I thought like were good enough, right,
to help. So I think that's a super, super killer piece of advice. And I think you're absolutely right. Today, and I had the same scenario when I grew up, like all my friends had nothing to do with startups or software development or anything like that. And back in 2006, 2007, when I started want to get into that area, like, you know, it was not as easy as it is today. Today, you can just go on fucking Facebook and look up a number of groups, you know, and go on Twitter and follow a bunch of people and just find friends. But I think the important thing is to highlight here is that you're not saying to people, go and try to find your technical co-founder as step one. What you're saying is make friends, technical friends, developer friends, and find somebody that can give you advice and guidance as you're trying to find somebody who's going to build your software, your product, right? That's very, I think it's a very, you said it very clearly, but I want to underline and highlight it because I could easily imagine people mishearing you on that point.
Yeah, exactly. Find help. Like, and help comes in the form of advice from people that, you know, you can learn to trust around programming. And there's more of these people out there than ever. And that's my point, right? Like I had to do a lot more work than I would people have to do today if I was the same person. Right.
Cool.
Exactly.
So now I found somebody who's a friend who could give me advice. What typically would be my next step is like finding a developer that I can outsource a version one of my product?
Yeah, typically I'm looking for, I mean, here's the thing, right? Like you can, and this is funny, but you can, I mean, it's true. You can go come up with your idea, write it down in whatever way you're able to. You can even learn how to do that if you want to go deeper. Learn about how do I spec out a product or how do I write requirements for engineering and write something out that is cohesive and coherent. And then you could go to a bunch of either individual freelancers, development shops, or even something like Gigster and go actually get a bid for how much it's going to cost to get what you want done. And I'm not saying that you do that because you have the money or you don't. What I'm saying is that'll start helping you get an understanding of more information that'll help you figure out how does this thing get built? How do I actually get into this? I would do that even if you have somebody who you're considering to join you as a co-founder or something like that, or even want to work with.
I love that. And the other thing is you could also just use tools today that weren't available a long time ago, like Balsamiq is a great tool, right? You could use a tool that requires zero development skills where you can just mock up what you want to have. Like, how should the app look like? What does it do? You can like fuck around, play around and create a, you know, 4, 5, 6 screens to then take and talk to a developer about, like, this is the app I want to build. And this is a few screens that I put together on how it would look like. Maybe your developer friend, hey, what's your advice? What have I not thought about? What's messed up about this? Like, you can do things to create some progress. The other thing, I think we mentioned this in a prior episode, but I want to bring this up again because I love this story so much. You know, there was a startup that has become very, very successful and sold for a ton of money, and was basically a mobile app for like doing body weight exercises. And it was built by 4 student kids somewhere in Germany that were all kind of like body weight workout fitness dorks. And when they had the idea first, they were wise enough to not just go, oh, we want to build an app. Let's go and find some, you know, web development agency or mobile development agency. Let's pay them a ton of money and develop some kind of an app. They said, we know nothing about apps or software, but we love doing body weight exercising and workouts. So why don't we just start a Facebook group for our university and we'll do body weight exercise groups on weekends. And they started that and they did that really successfully and the group grew. And then other universities started joining the Facebook group. And so it spread throughout Germany and they built a really big Facebook group. And then eventually they said, wow, we have this big audience. All these workouts are happening that are organized on our Facebook group. Why don't we write up a little ebook on kind of body weight exercising and all that stuff? And we'll sell it for a few euros and we'll promote it on the Facebook group and then the email list that we've built over the last year or two and make some money with it. And they did it and they made, I don't know, 30, 40K selling that ebook. And then they said, shit, now we have some money and we have an audience. And we have a much better developed idea of what people want and what people would use the app for. Let's go now to a web development agency and build a mobile app. And that's what they did. They took the money they made out of the ebook and they built a mobile app. And then they launched it because they already had a big audience. And it instantly, you know, was ranked number one in a bunch of online stores and mobile app stores. And it became a huge success. 2 years later or so, they sold it for, I don't know, an insane amount of money, 100 million or something along those lines. And to me, that's like a beautiful way of like 4 people that were all non-technical building an incredibly successful mobile app and selling it for millions. But they did it, their first step was not even going to find